This is the Saxo Market Call, the daily financial markets podcast, across asset classes and around the world.
Hello and welcome to the Saxo Market Call. It's Wednesday, 28th of June, 2023. We've got quite a lot to talk about on today's podcast, especially about NVIDIA, which had a strong session yesterday together with the broader market, but it was especially the bubble stocks that did very well, and mega caps having a decent day, I think, if I look at our Saxo theme baskets there on slide two. But after the close, we have the news that the Biden administration, according to Wall Street Journal exclusive article, is considering slapping some new curbs on AI-related chips. And that goes straight, of course, to NVIDIA, AMD, et cetera. And they sort of backed out yesterday's gains. It wasn't a devastating blow, but we're going to be on to that. Peter, I don't know if you want to pick up the story now if we'll lead into that later after we've run through the markets a little bit. But it's something to consider after another rebound in this whole space yesterday.
Yeah, because there was semiconductors and bubble stocks. A lot of the AI related stocks, that cluster was really rallying yesterday together. So if we do the broader market, the first, John, as you had that rally in the AI related stocks, but also retailing stocks, airliners, cruise line ships, and then home builders, because we had very strong new home sales coming out yesterday. And we had, I don't know what you said on the internal call, was it the highest US consumer confidence for June in quite some time? So that just rallied all the consumer stocks in the US, and I think sets up the US economy and the monetary policy and the decision making from the Fed at a very interesting spotlight in the months ahead. I just can't see that they're going to do any rate cuts with some of the numbers that are coming over the wire here in the US.
Yeah. Regarding that consumer confidence level, so both the present situation and expectation components jumping very strongly. The present situation, I think, is particularly interesting. The very clear, it's a lagging indicator. You're supposed, if we're going to recession, though, you should see this coming off and see we see it picking up, suggesting a very strong labor market. And then the expectations component, supposedly leading, actually jumping 8 points almost to 79.3 after 71.5 in May. And then on the new home sales, as you say, I mean, a massive surprise, a 765,000 pace in, I suppose it was May. I don't have the date in front of me. Versus 675K expected. I mean, that's a huge surprise factor. And versus 680 previous, this is the highest level and actually matched the highest pace that we even had before the pandemic, which sparked a lot of extra activity, those very low mortgage rates. Again, it is a side effect of the high current mortgage rates, because people don't want to move with an existing mortgage. So you do have to move. You're sort of forced into the new home market where there is actually supply. But Peter, let's get back to, I think we'll go ahead and cover the NVIDIA. I think it is our most important story here. And Ole, you'll just have to be patient with gold, where there's a lot going on as well, and some other moves. We were looking at this market and energy and commodities, and myself on FX. So let's dig into this. I think it's a very interesting putting the pieces together of that key story overnight and that blowout performance, as you said, in NVIDIA's and surge in NVIDIA's stock that we saw on its whichever quarter it was that it reported, the most recent one, obviously. But I don't know what their financial reporting calendar is. Putting the pieces together here and putting up some question marks around the sustainability of this forward outlook.
Yeah. So if we go into the helicopter and sort of get the broad view of this. So the Biden administration on October the 8th last year introduced export controls on NVIDIA's A100 and H100 AI chips, because they wanted to, provide that advanced chips to the China, because the US were leading and doing a lot of research in AI. Then November the 30th of last year, so almost 2 months later, OpenAI announces to the world the GPT and ChatGPT. And then it sort of accelerated from there. And then when we got into, so that was a public beta release. It took everyone by surprise. And then when we got into March, they fully opened up the ChatGPT, and then Google got into the race. In the meantime, during the month of November, there was an internal project in NVIDIA. I can't remember the code name right now, but there was a code name for this project. And that was to circumvent the export controls. And the now it has surfaced what they did. So what they did was they changed something called an interconnection speed in the bus in that GPU chips, and then they renamed it the A800 and the H800, and that was sort of supposedly in line with the previous export controls from early October last year, and then they could sell it to China. Then we, you know, as there was this all this hype about AI was flowing around in the headlines, you know, ChatGPT went to 100 million users in a very short amount of time, a lot of excitement, and people, it's like, is this just a hype, or does this have any commercial value? And then on the 24th of May this year, NVIDIA announced after the U.S. market closed these insane numbers on the guidance for over the next year. For revenue and earnings, and that's what you can see here on slide 3. It immediately accelerated earnings estimates for the S&P 500's information technology sector, as you can see there. That's the green light. And everything related to AI just took off. And then if we look, and this is the thing, if you go to slide 4. So NVIDIA, they don't want to talk about geography. They like to say, oh, the revenue is coming from data centers or gaming. They don't want to talk geography. And I think the CEO and co-founder is very well aware that NVIDIA is in the middle of this big fight between the US and China. He's thinking about his shareholders and his company. He tries to play a neutral role here, just, you know, playing along with the rules. In order to find the geographical split here, you have to go very deep in the 10K filings from the to the US regulators, the SEC, because they don't provide it in their presentation slide deck or in the press release. And what you can see here is that the gray bars here are China. So you can see as China slowed down in 2022, there was a general slowdown, and that was also because of the crypto industry. So a lot of the revenue that was going to China was for the crypto mining industry. But as crypto fell apart in 2022, revenue came down. And then what you can see here from the quarter that started in early February and ended in April, you see a 70% increase quarter on quarter in revenue to China. And that is as NVIDIA was selling these new changed A800 and H800 chips to China. And the reason why we got sort of our eyes on this and the eyes on the ball here is that we're connecting all these dots. So Bloomberg is running an article this morning called Billionaires and Bureaucrats Mobilize China for AI Race with the US. That has come about at the same time as you have pretty prominent articles in the state newspapers in China saying AI is the number one technology that we need to catch up with the US, etc. A lot of money in China is going this way. And I put in on slide 4 as well some this FT article today where it says US weighs tougher restrictions on AI chip exports to China. It says here Tencent, Alibaba, Baidu, ByteDance and other Chinese groups, they have placed additional orders for NVIDIA chips because this is now the priority in China. So a lot of, I think, this is my speculation, I think a lot of the guidance from NVIDIA is predominantly driven by China, a big splash purchases of these chips, and they have to move fast because, of course, they are well aware if the Biden administration puts further curbs, it can limit their progress even more. So it's about getting as many chips as possible. So I think this is the hidden risk to NVIDIA's outlook. I don't know whether people inside NVIDIA have been talking to the Biden administration or whatever, but it seems like the U.S. government is really aware of this. And I'll stop my spiel very soon. But as we talked about, John, before we went on the podcast, if AI is the most important dominant technology in the decade to come, and NVIDIA holds the key to unlock that potential, why would the U.S. allow unrestricted or only smaller correction to these chips to be exported to China? I think this is the risk for NVIDIA, that it will be held accountable for the U.S. government and not be allowed to export these chips.
Yeah, so that's the risk. And then, of course, valuation-wise, the risk would be that we have a couple of wildly strong quarters here as they front-run those restrictions as much as possible, and then a sudden cliff. Where maybe there's some underlying growth in the other sectors, I suppose, geographically for NVIDIA, but it doesn't pick up back on the original path that was anticipated from that blowout original quarter. So, yes, a very interesting test for NVIDIA shares in coming days as people digest this. And I think it was the quoted in Wall Street Journal was around a month that they might take before implementing something like this. But of course, equities operate on expectations. So does the market sniff out what you're sniffing out ahead of that will be a very interesting question. All right, let's get back to other markets. The dollar firming up a little bit yesterday. I was surprised it didn't firm up a bit more on that very strong U.S. data. The key will be the PCE inflation on Friday. And, I'm wondering, I think the most interesting scenario here around, there's also the Eurozone, both headline and core estimates for June. The PCE inflation on Friday is for May. That PCE is a late release. Would be sort of continued somewhat soft inflation levels. It just encourages this sort of soft landing mentality. Not necessarily that's what we're going to get. We could be seeing a reacceleration actually in many economies here, but if it does encourage that, how the bond market treats that and whether that long end ironically actually goes higher in terms of yield. Regardless, the most important thing or the most interesting development would be the longer end coming in higher. I think that's what is needed to spark more volatility into a foreign exchange here, either that or some kind of risk off move in general, which has not been forthcoming. This latest consolidation in equities, for example, the very low levels of fear surrounding that. Small subplots yesterday. Canadian CPI was soft in the core, 3.8% for that trim measure, so-called, year-on-year versus 3.9 expected and 4.2 prior. So that's a pretty hefty drop in the core CPI there. A headline May CPI reported overnight from Australia, another chunky drop, even if it is just the headline, to 5.6%. versus 6.1% expected and 6.8% in April. So that's a pretty chunky move. And we saw Australian dollar falling lower. You see the chart there on slide 5 of Aussie dollar has essentially reversed everything except that last little Fibonacci retracement in the low 66s. Let's see if that is taken out and we sort of capitulate back to the lows. Copper's in a troubled spot here. We'll talk to you about that in a moment, Ole. But also the Canadian dollar getting a bit weaker after its pronounced run of strength, that CPI report, I'm surprised it impacted even more, especially given that crude oil is also trading lower. And that takes me to the commodity space. I mean, we look at the strong U.S. data, but it's you can't see strength in many pockets right at the moment in some of the key commodities. And I think gold is one of the more interesting stories technically that's shaping up here.
Yes, that's right, John. And so let's start with gold. And on slide 6 here, we can see the chart development. We've had this strong run up, and we've been correcting since early parts of May. And right now, we are approaching that 1900 level. As you can see on the chart, it's the first major Fibonacci retracement of that big run up we had from the November triple bottom last year. So that's really a key one to look out for.
And if I recall, if you look at the local wave there, so from the March low sparked by the banking turmoil, I believe the 61.8 is around 1903 or something like that. So a couple of coinciding Fibonacci's makes it doubly interesting, I suppose.
Absolutely correct. So key area to look out for. And what is driving the market? Well, first of all, the risk sentiment has been pretty good across all the markets. Recently, we've seen stock markets, apart from the just having a bit of a blip here, but the stock markets generally has been in good health, and that's been eroding some of the demand. But I think generally, it is a conundrum of strength in U.S. data, the Fed fighting inflation, and where that leads Fed funds going forward. And the market is obviously concerned that the rates will have to go higher, and the peak will not be reached anytime soon. And looking at real yields yields adjusted for inflation, we can see, that especially in the 2 year, how we're approaching 3% real yields after inflation. That's a pretty decent return, and that's really eroding some of the current demand for gold. All the debt burden and so on, that is potentially raising some concerns in the future. That's for another day. In the short term, it's a technical-driven weakness driven by some of these adjustments that we're seeing, or movements we're seeing in real yields.
So, and then the real yields, just for clarity for listeners, that is the versus the 2 year sort of markets pricing of where yields will be, for example.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Inflation will be in 2 years versus what the 2 year yield is at the moment, a nominal yield. Okay. Yes.
And the inflation is probably the one that, the one that may surprise. If we are starting to see inflation become more sticky, then obviously the market will have to adjust higher their expectations for inflation, where it's going to be in 2 years' time. And that potentially could send the real yields back down again. But that's for another day. For now, the market is firmly believing that the central bank will successful in bringing the inflation under control by hiking rates, and that's raising real yields for now. And if we should just stay on the negative or the downward trending markets we're seeing in the commodities right now, is that the other two major ones are also under some pressure here. We're looking at crude oil on slide 7. You can see we've been basically been range bound since May, but now once again we are getting close to that key area of support down towards, I'll say 71.5. I asked my technical analyst earlier today whether a flat or a rising trend line was which one was most important, and the flat one is the one that the technical analysis analytics they focus mostly on. So 71.50 is a key there, and if we do break, then there could be, it could trigger some additional technical selling to the downside. And it is the continued worries about demand and the concerns that China's growth is not living up to expectations that's driving this weakness, and potentially also the market simply wanted to challenge the resolve of OPEC, what they will do if we see prices below 70.
All right, and then copper as well. That's interesting for Aussie. I think part of the reason for the Aussie weakness, and it's back below that 200-day moving average, but still not exactly falling apart relative to the local rally wave there.
No, copper is a story about speculative interest. Just like we've seen in the grain markets, we didn't take grain in today because of it, but they had a significant correction yesterday, and a lot of that is driven by simply by the fact that the speculators have been chasing this market now for a while. They were woefully unprepared for the big bounce we had that started a month ago, and that led to a massive amount of buying in the past 3 weeks. Some of that buying now have become unstuck as we're seeing rain starting to arrive in some of the grain belt in the US, and that's adding some downward pressure. So the speculative exodus out of grains is causing that move. I think partly to blame in the copper market is the same. We had the uptrend that started in late May, and we broke that last week, and since then selling has re-emerged. And basically, again, look in the top right corner there on slide 8, the speculative interest in 3 weeks has gone from a sizable short to the biggest long in a while, and that basically is adding some downward pressure again. So watch out for that 50% retracement, 375. That's a key level to watch. And just for Claire, just adding China once again, Wendy, and that's your area, John. The renminbi continues to weaken, and normally copper strength and renminbi weakness doesn't really go hand in hand, and that's at least for now reducing the upside potential for copper.
Yeah, and the setting of the reference rate higher, not having much of an effect. It had the one-day sell-off in dollar CNH. It's bobbed back quite a bit since then. All right, chips and export controls to China. That includes Micron, who's been heavily impacted by that. Peter, they're up reporting today. What is your focus there besides, of course, that headline that I just already sort of delivered to you?
Yeah, thank you very much, John. Micron Technology, correctly, is one of those companies that have been hit pretty hard by the export controls. Their memory chips are super important for all sorts of consumer electronics, but also different applications in industry, military, etc. Very important company in that complex, and as you can see, it's the pricing strength or the pricing of these memory chips have been really on the decline, and then when you combine it with volume declines in consumer electronics, just one area, then you're looking into what will most likely be around a 57% decline in revenue for the quarter that ended in May. So that's something you can believe in, and the expectation is even that they're clearing out excess inventory and pricing has been so weak relative to previous production cost, they are expected to deliver their second straight quarter with negative growth profits, which is quite extraordinary. It's not something you see very, very often. So this is a company that is really going through a difficult time, but as you can see here on slide 9, the forward expectations is actually for the memory chip market to begin rebounding in the later part of this year, and then when we swing into the first couple of months of next year, the expectation is that then of course you have a low base numbers to for your comparison year on year, and then you'll begin to see double digit growth rates again for Micron Technology. But I'm very curious to hear what they say on the outlook, but also maybe if they have any commentaries on export controls, again, would be interesting to listen into. And then tomorrow we'll flag and do a little bit of preview of H&M and Nike.
Okay, and then on the macro calendar today, don't want to spend too much time on this, but we do have this ECB forum afoot, and just about everybody you can imagine is there, including Bank of Japan Governor Ueda, who would have the most potential to let a comment drop that actually moves the market. I think Powell and Lagarde, we've heard so much from them. I don't think we're going to get surprises there. Do have Bank of England representatives there as well. There's maybe some potential at the margin for them to surprise one way or the other. But I think it really is about this AI situation. It's been such a leading sector of the market, so critical in the speculative part of the market as well. So if we're onto something with a story, and depending on the timeline of that story and if the market sniffs it out, I think that's probably one of the chief risks for the most speculative part of the market. And then it's about incoming data. And that really is about the German CPI at the margin tomorrow, but really the Eurozone flash June CPI data as flagged Friday, and the PC inflation from the U.S. together with the long end of the U.S. yield curve. Again, I think that is one of the most the key instrument that needs to sort of cut loose to send an indicator that could inject some volatility into this market besides the AI space that we've just talked about today. So, yeah, stay careful out there, and we will be back tomorrow with the next Saxo Market Call.
Thanks for listening. This has been the Saxo Market Call. For feedback and questions, reach out to us on Twitter at Saxo Market Call or by email, marketcall@saxobank.com.